The Educational Alchemist Podcast. Chapter 1. Meliorism, the Alchemist Begins. Welcome to the Educational Alchemist Podcast, a conversation about leadership, education, and the ordinary moments that quietly shape people. Today, James and I are exploring the opening chapter of Dr. Tony Guariglia's book, The Educational Alchemist, Turning Ordinary Moments into Leadership Gold. The chapter is called Meliorism, The Alchemist Begins.
And before anyone worries that meliorism sounds terribly academic, Guariglia makes it remarkably human. Meliorism is the belief that the world can be made better through human effort. Not that things will simply improve on their own, but that improvement becomes possible when somebody chooses to participate.
Exactly. Guariglia draws a sharp distinction between optimism and meliorism. Optimism hopes, meliorism acts. That difference becomes the foundation of the chapter and, really, the philosophy of the entire book.
What makes the chapter compelling is that he does not introduce the idea through theory. He introduces it through loss. His father, a physician, died of cancer at only 41. For a child, there must have been a particular contradiction in that. Believing a doctor could fix things, then discovering that even doctors cannot fix everything.
And after that loss, his mother was left to guide the family through grief, bills, decisions, and the emotional needs of children who were trying to understand why their world had changed. Guariglia is careful with the way he describes her. He says she did the best she could and reminds the reader that she was going through it for the first time as well.
That line carries a great deal of compassion. It is very easy, with the benefit of adulthood, to judge the people who raised us. Guariglia chooses instead to see his mother as someone learning while leading.
And that becomes his first living example of meliorism. Better did not mean perfect. Better meant reaching the end of one difficult day with enough love intact to try again tomorrow. His mother did not lecture the family about resilience. She embodied it, one choice, one sacrifice, one act of courage at a time.
Which gives us one of the chapter's strongest ideas. Improvement is a craft, not a coincidence. Leadership does not always arrive with a title or a public announcement. Sometimes it looks like the ordinary work of continuing when nobody is applauding.
That word ordinary matters throughout this book. Guariglia is interested in the moments most people overlook. The incident in a classroom, the brief exchange in a hallway, the quiet decision to protect someone's dignity. His claim is that those moments are the raw material of leadership.
There is a fifth grade story that illustrates that beautifully. Guariglia remembers sitting in Mrs. Walt's classroom during a team competition. The question was, what did Native Americans call corn? He knew the answer, maize.
For a second, he felt proud. He had contributed. But the reaction around him changed the experience. Instead of feeling celebrated, he felt exposed, as though knowing the answer or being pleased that he knew it had somehow made him a target.
And he is very measured about it. He does not call it a great trauma. He does not inflate the memory. He simply says the feeling stayed with him.
That is one of the most perceptive passages in the chapter. Adults may forget a classroom moment almost immediately, while a child carries it for decades. A student can be correct and still feel embarrassed. A student can succeed and still leave the moment smaller than when they entered it.
That is a formidable responsibility for an educator. Guariglia argues that teachers do not merely manage answers. They manage meaning. They help children decide whether it is safe to try, safe to speak, safe to know something, and safe to be visible.
And that is where the book begins to move from personal reflection into leadership practice. A classroom has an emotional climate. Success can be protected or mishandled. Correction can preserve dignity or diminish it. Guariglia's fifth grade memory becomes a promise to notice what a child might remember about how they felt in the room.
The chapter then turns to another kind of self-knowledge. Guariglia entered college with medicine in mind, partly because his father had been a physician, but his experience around hospitals, including work as an orderly, helped him realize that the medical path did not belong to him.
At Wilkes University, a Greek mythology course with Dr. Rizzo gave him language for that realization. Know yourself and know your limits. Dr. Rizzo continued with this philosophy. And only way to truly know your limits is to exceed them, Guariglia connected with this logic.
Which is not a message about giving up. Quite the reverse. He reframes redirection as a form of improvement. Sometimes meliorism means persistence. Sometimes it means changing course. Sometimes the courageous act is admitting that a path is not yours.
He moved towards computer science and ultimately education. And once he entered schools, meliorism became more than a private philosophy. It became an obligation. Students are unfinished. Teachers are unfinished. Leaders are unfinished. Everyone is in some stage of becoming.
That idea gives the title, The Educational Alchemist, its meaning. Guariglia is not suggesting magic. The alchemy is the disciplined act of taking the raw material of a school, conflict, fear, uncertainty, and potential, and refining it into clarity, growth, and purpose.
He puts it neatly. Meliorism gives him the lens. Educational alchemy gives him the method.
But the chapter is not self-congratulatory. Guariglia includes a difficult leadership admission. He once reassigned a teacher from a role that had become part of the man's identity. The decision had organizational reasons behind it, but Guariglia later realized that he had underestimated how emotionally vulnerable the teacher was at the time.
He says he unintentionally took something from him that meant more than he understood. That is an important moment because it complicates the idea of improvement. A leader can make a necessary decision and still wound someone. Being correct does not remove the responsibility to consider the human impact.
And from that experience comes perhaps the chapter's most arresting sentence. Improvement without humanity is not alchemy, it is machinery.
That may be the line that tells readers what kind of leadership book this is. It is not a manual for moving people efficiently around an organization. It is an argument for seeing them fully while change is taking place.
Guariglia then describes schools as ecosystems and leaders as catalysts. The good leader is not necessarily the loudest person in the room, but the most attuned, the one who notices histories, fears, motivations, and tensions that may never be spoken aloud.
Transformation begins with understanding. Understanding begins with empathy. And empathy begins with the willingness to see. Those three steps provide a quiet bridge into the rest of the book.
The final story in the chapter is wonderfully small. Early in his career, Guariglia watched a veteran teacher discreetly slip a granola bar into a student's backpack. There was no announcement, no praise, and no paperwork. Just an act of care.
That moment taught him that leadership is not measured by office size or the number of people reporting to you. It is measured by the willingness to see what others overlook and then act.
Schools, as he later discovered, are filled with invisible needs. Hungry students, families nearing crisis, and staff carrying burdens they never discuss. A policy manual cannot identify all of that. A present human being can.
And Guariglia closes the chapter with the belief that became the foundation for everything that followed. If you take care of people, the work will take care of itself.
It is a powerful opening because it promises that the chapters ahead will not merely describe leadership positions. They will examine the moments that form the leader, the mistakes, the observations, the difficult decisions, and the acts of care.
The chapter also leaves the reader with a challenge. Where are the ordinary moments in our own schools, workplaces, and families that could be made better? Who is being overlooked? Whose dignity needs protecting? What situation have we been hoping will improve when what it actually requires is our participation?
That is meliorism in practice. Not vague positivity. Not pretending that loss, conflict, or failure does not hurt. It is the stubborn, disciplined belief that human effort still matters.
And it is only the beginning of The Educational Alchemist. Chapter 1 establishes the belief. The chapters that follow explore the craft, how a leader notices, responds to crisis, shapes culture, and prepares others to carry the work forward.
So this first chapter does exactly what a strong opening should do. It introduces the author's philosophy, but it also makes the reader curious about how that philosophy survived contact with real institutions, real pressure, and real human complexity.
Dr. Tony Guariglia's The Educational Alchemist, Turning Ordinary Moments into Leadership. Gold begins with a simple proposition. Better is possible, but better requires someone to act.
And perhaps leadership begins the moment someone decides to be that person.
Thank you for joining us. This has been our discussion of Chapter 1, Meliorism, The Alchemist Begins. Until next time, keep looking for the gold hidden inside the ordinary. And for greater insight, we recommend reading the book The Educational Alchemist by Dr. Tony Guariglia.